Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geberit third quarter 2018 year earnings call. I'll now hand you over to Ms. Saud. Madam, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Saad Jamal Al-Sirkari, the VP of Communications from Geberit. On behalf of Geberit management team, I would like to welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the third quarter and nine months 2018 results conference call. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide two of the presentations for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide three for today's agenda. On today's call, Steve, our CFO, will first provide an overview of the third quarter 2018 performance and key events. Following that, Richard, our VP of Finance, will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Steve will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the lines for your questions. With that, I'll now hand over to Steve to begin today's presentation. Thank you, and over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Saud. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to talk to you again this quarter. Let me begin on slide five by outlining the major highlights for the year so far. Nine-month 2018 revenues grew 3.9% compared to the same period last year, led by a 4% increase in chilled water revenues. 2018 has seen a 9% increase in EBITDA, and as a result, we saw EBITDA margins increasing from 44% last year to 46% in 2018. Third, we connected 7,500 refrigerated tons of capacity in Q3, mostly at Saudi Tabrij's Jebel Omar development in the holy city of Mecca. Total capacity additions this year have been 29,000 refrigerated tons. Finally, with our third plant at the West Bay in Qatar becoming fully operational, our total number of plants reached 73 across the GCC. We remain confident that we will deliver the announced 65,000 RTs of new capacity additions over 2018 and 2019. Recently, Geberit has successfully completed a comprehensive debt refinancing exercise, which will deliver a number of benefits, including an increased average life of debt, lower cost over the medium term, and more flexible debt terms. The key elements of this refinancing, underpinned by newly acquired investment-grade ratings, are the refinancing of almost all of our debt with a $500 million Sukuk and new unsecured bank facilities. Richard will talk more about the refinancing shortly. Turning to slide six. As you know, Geberit is the only publicly traded district cooling company in the world. The UAE is our base of operations, where we have a presence in six emirates, providing 773,000 tons of cooling to our customers through 63 plants. In addition to the UAE, we work with key strategic partners in four other GCC countries. We have a total of 10 plants outside the UAE, providing 348,000 tons of cooling to customers. During the quarter, we connected our third plant at West Bay in Qatar. This takes our total number of plants to 73. Around two-thirds of our capacity is consolidated, while the rest is equity accounted as associates or joint ventures. Moving to the next slide. This slide outlines our capacity growth trends across the region. At the beginning of 2018, we announced that we expected to add at least 65,000 RTs of new connected capacity during 2018 and 2019. During the third quarter of this year, we added over 7,500 RTs of capacity, mostly through Saudi Tabrij, as I've already mentioned. This takes our total capacity additions during the nine months of 2018 to 29,200 RTs. We remain confident of achieving our capacity guidance of 65,000 RTs by the end of 2019, as all of this capacity is already fully contracted. Geberit continues to demonstrate its ability to deliver a steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by the growth in our key markets across the GCC. and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. Turning to slide 8, this slide recaps the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarise, Tabreed is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings and cash flows. We currently have 90% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. About 70% of our revenues are derived from fully government-owned and partly government-owned organisations, and therefore limiting counterparty credit risk. Tabreed has a track record of delivering profitable growth. In summary, over the last 4 years, total group connected capacity has grown by 6% per annum. Total revenues have increased at the same rate, driven by chilled water revenue growth of 7% per annum. Net income and EBITDA have increased by 8% and 7% per annum per year, respectively, and EBITDA margins have consistently been approaching 50%. I will now hand over to Richard to talk about our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Steve. Turning to slide 10, let me highlight a few key points on our results for the 9 months so far of 2018. Tabreed recorded overall revenue growth of 3.9%, with chilled water revenue increasing by 4%. The main factors driving chilled water revenue growth were the acquisition of S&T, which added about 3%, new connections in Oman and Bahrain, and the impact of CPI indexation on our capacity revenues. Revenues for our value chain businesses increased by 1.4%. The share of results from associates and JVs declined by 20 million, or 22.3%, on a year earlier, mainly reflecting three factors. Firstly, the impact of the new accounting standard IFRS 15, which reduced the contribution from Qatar Cool by 11.5 million dirham. Secondly, a 5 million dirham reduction from Saudi Tabreed, reflecting lower incomes and Tabreed's lower share of the JV results. And finally, the impact of S&T moving from a JV treatment to a fully consolidated entity following acquisition. Finance costs were higher due to higher EBOR, and also drawdown of our revolving credit facility to help fund the acquisition of S&T. Other income mainly reflects the one-off gain of 32.6 million on the dilution of our stake in Saudi Tabreed. Overall, net income in the first 9 months of 2018 was 319 million dirham, up 10% on the same period last year, and EBITDA was 506 million dirham, up 9%. Improved gross margins due to operating cost efficiencies resulted in EBITDA margins increasing to 46% in the first 9 months of 2018, up from 44% in the same period of 2017. We'll now turn to slide 11 to look at the statement of financial position. Significant movements in the balance of the 30th of September 2018 compared to the end of 2017 was as follows. Firstly, the increase in fixed assets mainly reflects additions of 400 million on consolidation of S&T after acquisition of the 50% stake from Aldar. The decrease in associates and joint ventures balance reflects dividends received, also the consolidation of S&T, the 5% dilution of our shareholding in Saudi Tabreed, and the IFRS 15 adjustment for Qatar Cool. The increase in receivables reflects consolidation of S&T and also seasonality compared to December 17. The receivables as at the 30th of September 18 were in line with those at 30th of September 17. The reduction in equity and reserves is due to the 2017 dividend being paid and the effect of the implementation of IFRS 9 and IFRS 15. The decrease in debt is due to scheduled repayments. Gearing at the end of Q3 2018 was at 40%. Turning to the next slide, we'll look at the cash flow statement. Tabreed continues to generate strong cash flows, which are being utilised to invest in growth and provide dividend returns to our shareholders. Operating cash flow was strong at 532 million dirhams, an increase of 45% compared to last year, reflecting higher profitability, robust receivables collections, and higher payable balances. Investing activities primarily reflect the £252 million paid for the acquisition of S&T, offset by dividends received and proceeds from the dilution of our shareholding in Saudi Tabreed. Financing outflows reflect the dividend and debt service payments, offset by higher utilisation of the RCF to fund the S&T acquisition, as mentioned. Our cash-generating ability remains robust, driven by our long-term, price-certain contracts. I'll now turn to slide 13, which just outlines our current debt portfolio. This slide provides the usual background on Tabreed's debt portfolio as of September 2018. However, most of it has changed after the recent refinancing exercise, which I'll elaborate on shortly. Key points to note on this slide are that Tabreed has $3.1 billion of gross debt and a gearing ratio of approximately 40%. Net debt and net debt to EBITDA have declined since 2016 as debt has been repaid and EBITDA has grown. And return on capital employed and return on equity has also improved since 2016 due to strengthening of the balance sheet and higher profitability. That completes the detailed review of results for the first 9 months of 2018. On the next slide, I'll discuss the recent debt refinancing in a bit more detail. So slide 14 highlights the strategic rationale of the refinancing and presents the post-refinancing pro forma debt structure as if this had been completed on the 30th of September 2018. Tabreed's improved operational and financial performance in recent years, coupled with our strong shareholder base, has enabled us to implement a revised financing strategy. The key elements of the strategy are to establish Tabreed as an investment-grade company, which has been achieved with investment-grade ratings now published from Moody's and Fitch. Secondly, to access debt capital markets in order to broaden our investor base and access longer-term debt. And lastly, to move away from secured debt structures to introduce simpler and more flexible terms. These features together deliver a capital structure in line with mature utility companies. The main components of the refinancing are the issue of a $500 million 7-year Sukuk with a cost of 5.5%, a new $250 million 5-year amortizing term loan and a 590 million dirham 5-year revolving credit facility. These have refinanced all our debt other than 320 million dirhams of project and asset-based financing for Dubai Park, the Nation Towers development and Tabreed Oman. We have retained access to approximately 600 million dirham of undrawn but committed long-term RCF to provide growth funding for the business going forward. Overall, the results of the refinancing are an increase in debt tenor from 4.5 years to over 6 years, and no change in the overall cost of debt for 2019, but given the rising interest rate environment, there's significant potential savings in later years. We now have a stronger balance sheet which optimises Tabreed's ability to capitalise on future growth opportunities. I'll now hand the call back to Steve for closing remarks.
Thank you, Richard. Before we open the lines for questions and answers, let me just make a few closing comments around slide 16. We continue to deliver strong financial and operating performance with rising profitability, stable margins, and robust cash flow. We have seen strong capacity additions in our equity accounted entities, and we are confident of achieving our capacity guidance of adding 65,000 tonnes over 2018 and 2019. The new Sukuk issue and refinancing delivers improved balance sheet efficiency, lower cost in the longer term and longer term maturity. With investment grade ratings and a successful Sukuk, Tabreed has accessed global debt capital markets. Tabreed has a flexible capital structure to fund future growth. We will look at opportunities within and beyond the GCC and will provide you with updates as and when such opportunities materialise. Today, Tabreed is stronger than ever before. We have a strong shareholder base, a management team with significant industry experience, We are working on various fronts from business development to operations to help drive growth and improve profitability. We remain optimistic about the future. Our core chilled water business provides stable and predictable revenues and profits, and we continue to seek growth opportunities across and beyond the GCC.
So, this concludes the presentation. Thank you for joining us for the Q3 2018 earnings call. We will now take any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Ahmed Mahdi from Arab Bank Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for this presentation. I just wanted to know if there's any dividend guidance for next year or for this year.
Thank you, Ahmed, for that question. As you probably know, as a listed entity, dividends are a decision that are taken by the shareholders, and our shareholder meeting, annual general meeting, is generally in early March. I expect it to be the same next year. In terms of history of dividends, as you probably know, we've paid out approximately 50% of our earnings as dividends in each of the last 3 or 4 years. And we announced a dividend policy at the beginning of this year, which said that we will grow dividends in line with the business, which I think you can take to mean essentially a relatively constant payout. So that's a rather long way of saying you shouldn't expect to see too much change, but it will be the number will obviously be a decision for the board and the shareholders next year.
Perfect, thank you.
Our next question comes from Rakesh Tripathi from Franklin Templeton Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi team. Thank you very much for the presentation. I had my first question is on the revenues. So you mentioned that around 3% of the revenues were contributed by the S&T acquisition. Can you talk about the like-for-like growth? How much was the organic growth in revenues year-on-year?
Thanks, Arakesh, for your question. As you said, we are quite right. The approximately 3% of the 4% increase in revenues is driven by the consolidation of S&T following that acquisition. So almost by definition, therefore, like for like, we're only up about 1%. I think there are two factors there. The CPI increases that we applied this year were relatively low. CPI was less than 2% in the UAE last year. And secondly, the consumption was quite low in Q1, which doesn't really impact our net income because there's no real margin on consumption for us. It's a pass-through of our costs. Can affect top-line revenue.
Yeah, but traditionally Q1 and Q4 are the quarters, right, where you see the consumption revenues being lower. So we should be sort of expecting some slowdown in revenues in Q4 as well on account of the consumption revenues, right?
That's correct. There are lower quarters, yes.
Okay.
But I'll just reiterate that impact on revenues really has no impact on the bottom line because of the nature of consumption revenues being a pass-through of our costs.
Right. My next question is regarding your debt levels. Would it be possible for you to discuss a bit on the extent of the amortization payments that are scheduled for Q4 and typically on a yearly basis as well? I understand that the project finance facilities that were the existing loans and the new term loan that you have taken, these are both amortizing in nature, right? So.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I mean, let me start by just saying that one of the principal reasons for this refinancing was to free up cash to retain within the business. So on the Sukuk, there'll obviously be six-month coupon payments. There won't be one of those by the end of this year. So the first coupon payment there will be sometime early in the first half of next year, 6 months after October, whatever that is, April or May. There is also no term debt repayments either this by the end of this year. The first will be early next year. The term loan essentially has annual repayments of around 140 million dirhams per year over the 5-year life. The Sukuk obviously doesn't have any principal repayments until it matures. And then there will be smaller repayments associated with the project financing facilities that we're retaining, the 320 million facilities that we're retaining. But those are really quite small. I'm not exactly sure what they are, but they're not material.
Okay. So the rating agencies, I mean, Moody's in particular, has put in thresholds on your interest coverage and retained cash flows to net debt, and they look for more of deleveraging or higher cash flow generation as prerequisites for sustaining or even for improving the credit ratings and the credit profile. So I just wanted to get your outlook on how you see your debt evolving from here on, and what are your plans regarding the total level of debt and maintaining or improving your credit ratings, particularly Moody's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, we're newly rated as investment grade by Moody's and Fitch, and it's clearly our intention to maintain that investment grade status. There's no doubt about that. In terms of what's going to happen to our gearing, as you can understand from what I've just said, amortization of debt is going to be fairly minimal over the next 5 years, but we do expect EBITDA to grow as the business grows. So in terms of net debt to EBITDA multiples, in a steady state world, it will decline as it has done, as Richard has already mentioned, over the last 2 or 3 years. So I'm not going to predict to you or suggest to you what a target level of debt may be. We don't have one. But we will be seeking to maintain our investment grade status. And unless we see a significant acquisition or a significant call on capital for whatever reason, the business will naturally continue to delever, which will assist us in retaining that investment grade status that we have.
Right. And about the EBITDA growth, how do you see that growth coming over the near term? I mean, how much from organically from your, say, operating margin improvements and growth in organic businesses, and how much do you see inorganic growth contributing to it? Basically, your outlook towards acquisitions.
Yeah. We don't give guidance on specific movements in EBITDA or net income. Well, the guidance that we give is in relation to capacity additions. And then, you know, it is relatively straightforward to model how those capacity additions might flow through into revenue and net income. So I'm afraid I'm not going to answer that question. We've announced 65,000 tons of capacity additions. That's equivalent to about 3% growth over the next year or so. I think you can do your own calculations as to what that might mean for EBITDA.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Netehan Mete from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the call and congrats for the good results. Just wanted to ask you about two things. I mean, one of them is that in your financial statement, income statement, I can see that, I mean, for a pure utility company, you have significantly high corporate expenses. I guess it's due to the high staffing in your HQ, which is like unlike the other utility companies. And is there a plan to reduce it going forward so that like you can become like a more like a lean and efficient company, and then you can boost your return on equity to somewhere around the mid-teens? That's one question. And the second question is that, I mean, if we see that the growth opportunities are slowing in the market, do you expect to go above the 55% dividend payout ratio that you did in 2017? For example, as a utility company and like a generator of significant cash flows, I think you can afford something around 80% quite comfortably. Thank you.
Thanks, Metehan. Well, first of all, you may not be surprised to hear me say that I don't agree with you that we're a high-cost organisation, Metehan. I think we have added a small increase in headcount to the company to reflect a broader executive management team, and also to bolster our business development and growth efforts. And I don't think you should lose sight of the fact that, as far as we're concerned, standing still is not really an option. You know, we need to see this company moving forward. We need to see it expanding within the GCC. We'd love to see it expanding outside the GCC, because what our strategy is really all about. It's about delivering solid performance in the existing business, but growing and adding to that. And of course, as you do that, you then begin to see corporate staff costs and head office costs, if you like, per ton declining, which is clearly something we would like to see. So I don't think that we're overstaffed. I think we're fit for purpose. And we're focusing our efforts very much on the things that matter to the business, growth, our HSE, etc. In terms of dividend payout, as I said before, that's really going to be a matter for the board. What I have said before, and I'll say it again, we are not a company that expects to sit on cash for a long period of time. So if we don't see growth materialising, then I am sure that's a discussion that the board and the shareholders will want to have about what do we do about the level of dividends. However, as I think I've said in the first part of the answer here, our focus at the moment is very much on trying to grow the business more rapidly than we have quite frankly seen in the last year or two. So that may well be a question. I don't know when it'll be a question, but it may well be a question at some point in the future.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Angad Bugle from The National Investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for having this call. My question pertains to your capacity additions. Can we expect any more additions this year, or will the bulk of it be next year? year?
Sorry, I didn't. That didn't come across quite clearly enough. Could you repeat the question?
Sorry. Yeah, the capacity additions. Any more additions this year, or will the bulk of this come next year?
Yeah, it's a little difficult to say. We're sort of almost halfway through the 65,000 tons we said we'd deliver over 2 years. I think we have said in the past that we expect a bit of it to be towards the back end. I'm not expecting a strong quarter in 4Q. We may see some additions, but I think the majority of it is going to be in 2019.
Sure. And these capacity additions, are they through building new plants or acquisitions?
This is all contracted capacity for new plants and new connections to existing plants. We don't include any projections for acquisitions in these numbers. It's all numbers that have been fully contracted and sanctioned. If we ever do an acquisition, and we have in the past, we will surely announce it at the right time, and that will then be incremental to what we've already announced.
All right, great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Didier Arora from Daman Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Divya. Just one question on receivables. Have you booked any provisions over the last 9 months on the receivables? And we have seen that you are exposed to the King Abdullah financial district in Saudi, which is not very big in terms of your overall capacity. But are you seeing some sort of delays in terms of payments from there? That's number two. And in terms of capacity, you are adding around 69,000. But we have seen most of this increase has come from Qatar and Saudi, which are basically your associates. Where in Saudi especially you own 20%, in Qatar you own 40%. So the impact on the earnings will not be in line with the increase in capacity. Or the capacity would also be coming over from the UAE going forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Didier, for that. We'll do the questions in reverse order. I think I'll do the first two, and then Richard will handle receivables. You're absolutely right that most of the capacity additions are in Saudi and Qatar, and I think we've said consistently that of the 65,000 tons, we expect about half of it to be in the consolidated entity and half of it in the associate and joint venture line. So as most of what we have seen so far is in associates and joint ventures, you can expect most of what we do in 2019 to be at the consolidated level. That 50-50 split is still good for us. So as you quite rightly say, not such a big impact on revenues this year, more so next year with consolidated capacity additions. In terms of the King Abdullah Financial District, we are not exposed to that project as directly as we're the Saudi Tabreed is the operator, the O&M operator for that project. We don't own the plant, and we're not exposed to the credit risk or the receivables there. So with that, I'll hand over to Rich to talk about your first question on receivables.
Thanks, Steve. I think looking at the cash flow, you see that receivables collections have been very strong in the first 9 months of this year, and we haven't made any material provisions for receivables through the income statement in the year at all. What we have done is implemented IFRS 9 and IFRS 15, and In doing that, we made some provisions which went through retained earnings at the beginning of the year, but there's been nothing material at all in current provisions during the course of the year, and receivables collections have been very strong.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you all. That concludes our Q3 2018 earnings call. Tabreed looks forward to interacting with you at our earnings conference calls and investor conferences. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. So have a great day, and thank you once again for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.